Evan Brown. He's been on the program before, Fox News. And Evan, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you? I haven't talked to you in a long time, and I've got a new partner who is tremendous, Gary Byron. Maybe you've already met him. He was elected to office and everything else. He's been everywhere.
Hello, Gary. How are you?
Great. Good morning to you, Evan.
Good morning. Good morning.
So we lost somebody yesterday.
We lost a titan yesterday in H. Ross Perot, who was the independent populist slash conservative candidate for president in 1992 that is well credited for torpedoing the George H.W. Bush reelect
campaign. Yeah, he split the vote.
Pretty much. He garnered a good 19 to almost 20% of the vote, which is unthinkable for a third-party candidate to do in a presidential race. And it is widely accepted that most of those votes would have gone to George H.W. Bush
yes.
had Perot not been in the race. But this is someone that came along. Now, remember, at the end of the Gulf War of Desert Storm, there was no thinking that George H.W. Bush could be beaten. He had an approval rate of roughly 90%, and everyone was quite happy with him.
Except the economy.
The economy tanked.
The economy tanked, yes.
It tanked, and it tanked very hard. Perhaps one of the worst tankings we had seen in a long time. And this drew some real discontent. But not necessarily enough to propel a Democratic candidate that was really beginning to try to figure out exactly what his message would be. There was still a big push in the Democratic Party to embrace very Carter-like ideals and not to moderate. And so the likes of Bill Clinton were not really making much headway in the electosphere, as I like to call it. Someone like Ross Perot came along who said, who appealed to conservatives, who didn't care if they were party loyal. He could figure he could make them not party loyal. And pushed in a populist idea that, the United States should be protecting its trade. And should be concerned about its national debt. Have we heard this before?
Yeah,
more recently?
Yep.
Many times.
And so that message made some big inroads. His campaign manager is the great Ed Rollins, a Republican longtime campaign manager, who yesterday on Fox News said that eventually Perot didn't have the taste in his mouth to get down and dirty with two other parties. And that's perhaps maybe that if he did, he would have had even more success. What he learned was that doing this as a third-party candidate was going to be very, very, very difficult.
Well, there were...
he came back in 96 to try again, having formed an actual party called the Reform Party.
Yeah.
Didn't fare as well, but was still a name to be reckoned with.
Evan, I want to go back to...
It is believed that this is what sowed the seeds for the Tea Party and eventually the Trump movement.
Yeah, I want to go back to 1992 for a moment.
Sure.
I read John Meacham's book on George H.W. Bush, and there was a time when Ross Perot ran and then took himself out as a candidate in the 1992 presidential election
for a while and eventually...
Yeah.
Put himself back in. So wait a second. What am I doing? We've got something moving here.
Right.
There is some real momentum for this, for what we're doing, and maybe we ought to get back in.
And just as curious,
ultimately it didn't work, but it may have had the intended effect anyway of making a real statement that there was a taste for economic national populism.
Yeah.
In this country. This may have been just those founding moments of what we now have today. In fact, it's widely believed that Mr. Trump and his campaign, his political advisors, eventually concluded that in order to do what they wanted to do, they could not do it as a third party. It had to happen within the two-party system, which presented another challenge, and that was you had to take over a party, essentially. You had to have this non-establishment person come in and commandeer one of the parties, and we know how that went.
Yeah, just as curious as George H.W. Bush's decision to choose Dan Quayle as a running mate for vice president was the same curiosity for when Ross Perot chose Admiral Stockdale as his running mate for vice president. How did he know him, and where did that decision derive from?
Well, I think the decision derived from the need to select people not in government already. Look, George H.W. Bush was an establishment Republican, had been so for many, many years.
Yeah.
He picked Dan Quayle, who came from, again, another sort of upper crust style establishment politician, political family. Someone like Admiral Stockdale was an outsider politically, had any real political
experience. But so was Ross Perot.
Famously on the vice presidential debate, wasn't really getting many questions, and one point looked up and said, why am I even here, or something like that. Or so
yeah.
And then there was let me adjust my hearing aid.
That's right.
I can hear you.
Yes.
It was a bit bizarre, but this is someone who was a war hero, almost in the vein of John McCain, had been, I believe, imprisoned in Vietnam.
And speaking of the debates, I remember when Ross Perot, his famous line was, I'm all ears.
I'm all ears.
And, of course, he was known for having Dumbo type of
huge
ears. Hey, let me ask you this, Eben. Since those elections in the 90s, the 92 election and the 96 election, what has Ross Perot, I know he's out of Texas, he's a billionaire, and he made his money in oil and things like that. What has
he made his money in data, not oil.
Oh, data, excuse me. I'm sorry. It was George H.W. Bush that made his money in oil.
Correct.
Excuse me. But I know he's a Texan. What has he been doing over the last 20, 25 years?
Sitting back and enjoying his life, I would think. look, he had not been very politically active. He had not been making the talk show rounds. But he did very recently, it may have been within the past couple of weeks, wrote a couple of checks to the Trump reelection.
I heard about that. Yes.
So this is someone who I think understood the impact that he had made 20 some odd years ago, and was interested at least in seeing it go forward beyond himself. He obviously knew he wouldn't be around for much longer. He had leukemia. He was also 89 years old, and he was probably looking at as Ronald Reagan put it, the sunset of his life, wanted to at least do one little thing to make his mark, to have it come full circle.
A big fan of Trump.
A lot of similarities between the Trump campaign and the Perot campaign. Perot made his inroads by going on television as much as possible. There were no social medias back then, to go that untraditional route.
So we understand he wrote two checks to the Trump campaign, obviously a big fan of Donald Trump. How much do we know how much those checks were made out for?
I don't know, and I also don't know to which exact funds they were written to, and because of campaign finance laws, there's a max amount that can be donated.
That's correct.
To whatever. So, I mean, there was no billion-dollar check wrote, I'm going to tell you that.
No. Yeah. Well, hey, listen, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for your call and certainly your knowledge on all things Ross Perot, a name that we hadn't heard for, nearly two decades, who had unfortunately passed away.
But we did hear him when he was speaking in the, oh boy.
Oh yeah, he was.
He was a tiger.
He was.
He was, certainly was.
And certainly a thorn in the side of George H.W. Bush back in 92.
And perhaps for the rest of George H.W. Bush's life, yes.
That's true. Hey, thanks so much for the call,
Evan.
We really appreciate it this morning.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Take care. Have a great morning.
You too.